Praise the Lord. Okay. We're going to begin a next series or line. And before we do that, how about let's repeat this again, the main topic of this training. Ready, go.
Knowing, seeing, and gaining God.
Amen. Sisters.
Knowing, seeing, and gaining God.
Brothers.
Knowing, seeing, and gaining God.
Okay, now the main topic for this line at the very top after morning session one, let's all say that together. Amen. You know, I was considering just the overall topic, and you know, if we want to know God, if we want to see God, and if we want to gain God, we have to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
And you know, Paul, when he was converted, you know, he was on the road to Damascus, and he was confronted with that great light,
right,
and which was the Lord. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And that, and Paul began a quest to know, to a quest to know the Lord.
Amen.
Who are you, Lord?
Amen.
That began his quest, and even you could say Paul began a hot pursuit of Christ. And we see this really in the book of Philippians. Philippians really is a book. You might say the character of that book is hotly pursuing Christ.
Amen.
And gaining Christ and knowing Christ. He says there to know Him. This was Paul in the middle of his pursuit. He was still wanting to know this one that that came to him as a great light. So we should be like this. We should ask that question, Lord, who are you?
Amen.
And then we should also every day, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you.
Amen.
Eventually, at the end of Paul's, right near the end of his life, the second epistle or letter to Timothy, he said, I know whom I have believed.
Amen.
Isn't that sweet? He asked the question, who are you, Lord, at the beginning of his Christian life? Then he was on a hot pursuit, and eventually, by the end of his life, maybe he knew, he must have had some, there's indications in that book that he had some knowledge that his ending was coming, and he could say, I know whom I have believed.
Amen.
We hope at the end of all of our lives, we could say, I know whom I have believed.
Amen.
And then I was considering as well, you know, to see God, that means to have a vision, a revelation. We have to exercise our spirit. And the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, you know, there are four great visions in the book of Revelation. And in each of those, it says that John was in spirit.
Right.
That means he was exercising his spirit. And he saw some awesome things. So if we want to see the most awesome thing, God, we have to be in our spirit. And we have to learn how to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Okay, how about let's all read the main title for this message, which is the first in this series. All together, ready, go.
Exercising the Spirit to call on the name of the Lord.
Exercising the Spirit.
Amen.
To do what?
Call.
Amen. And I think we all have already entered into this.
Yeah.
In a sense, I was thinking my job's kind of easy.
Yeah.
You're already just like preaching to the choir. But I think that we'll see some more things. And you know, Peter and Paul both said this. I'll stir up as a reminder. So maybe you've been here calling the Lord for 20 years or so. Some of the serving ones, or it doesn't matter. We need to be stirred up as a reminder.
Yeah.
And maybe this is something totally new to you. Hopefully, you will see the preciousness and the importance of calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, a couple things. The word exercise, you know, this isn't something that we just picked up. We thought, oh, we exercise physically. How about let's just say we exercise spiritually too? No, the Apostle Paul mentions this word. In 1 Timothy 4:7, he said, exercise yourselves unto godliness.
Amen.
And the word there in the Greek is gymnazo, which we would translate as gymnastics. So Paul was saying, gymnastics yourselves unto godliness.
Amen.
Wow, when you think of gymnastics, do you think of like lying down or sitting down? No, you're thinking a lot of activity.
Yeah.
So this is Paul's word. There needs to be a lot of spiritual activity.
Amen.
In the Christian life. And so we need to learn how to gymnastics ourselves unto godliness. And then it says exercising the Spirit. John 4:24 tells us that God We want to know God, right? We want to see God and gain God. God is spirit.
Amen.
And those who worship Him must worship in spirit.
Amen.
This came out of the Lord Jesus' mouth. You must worship in spirit. That's lowercase spirit. That means we have to know the spirit, to know the spirit.
Amen.
We have to exercise this spirit. Okay, before we begin the outline, I wanted to give just a couple testimonies. And one is just a personal testimony. And then the second is my wife's testimony, just a little bit. Because this matter of calling the Lord has been a key factor in our Christian lives. You know, I was saved. I prayed to receive the Lord when I was 8 years old. My brother and I both at the same time through my dad. And I think for an eight-year-old, it was a pretty dynamic experience. We called on the Lord, and it was pretty dynamic. I was told, even we drove around through some neighborhoods and kind of yelling out the windows, Jesus, and I was 8 years old. But when I hit junior high and high school, through a lot of different environments and things, I rebelled against the Lord and became very wild, really wild. Rebelled. Even by the time I was 15, I ran away from home for over 2 months, and just wild, rebellious. But the Lord had done a lot of things in my life and arranged a lot of circumstances and recovered me. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So by the time I was 16 years old, I was back home, and I was reading the Bible, and my heart was turning towards the Lord. But there was a kind of a critical moment in my life when I was 16 years old. This was in Amarillo, Texas. I lived two blocks from Interstate 40. And I had come back, but there was a kind of a crisis going on within me. I wanted to know the Lord, and I felt like I didn't know Him. I knew my parents' God, but I didn't know the Lord. And my dad would always tell us, you know, it's good that you follow us that you love the God that we love, but you have to eventually have a personal relationship with the Lord yourself. And he would encourage us to call on the Lord's name. So I remember going under I-40, and I had this kind of a, I don't know if I said it out loud, but inwardly I had this feeling like, either I'm going to meet the Lord, or I'm not even going to believe in Him. Of course, it's just my thought. I think I would have believed in Him anyhow, but that was my thought. There was just kind of a crisis going on, and I remember going up under I-40, up, you know, the right underneath, which was real noisy. I know nobody could hear me. And I began to just call on the Lord's name. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. And I just called and called. I think it was probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours long. And I was, you know, crying, and I was 16 years old. But I tell you, I came away from that experience knowing that I had met the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, I didn't see Him physically, but I knew the Lord. And from that point on, I think, really was a key turning point in my life where I began to love to call on the name of the Lord. And I began to really know the Lord and to pursue after Him. So that's my personal testimony. This matter of calling the Lord is very real to me personally. I don't know of any other practice in my Christian life that has helped me so much, that has saved me so much, that has been so enjoyable, and has been so rich. So I hope that you all would also, especially after hearing some of these words, would pick up this practice. Okay, another quick testimony. My wife, when I met my wife, we were fairly young, and she was an unbeliever when I met her, actually. So it's before we got married, but I knew enough that I can't marry an unbeliever. I needed to be equally yoked. So I began to preach the gospel to her, and she was pretty stubborn. It took about 4 months, and she eventually, through some circumstances, she realized the need that she needed to be saved. And so I led her in prayer to receive the Lord, and I encouraged her to call on the name of the Lord. And she was like, okay, but I don't understand. Why do you have to say, oh, Lord Jesus? I don't understand. Why do you have to say, oh? And I didn't have the information. No, I didn't know. I just had done it. So that's what I told her. I don't know. You just do it. And so she did. She began to say, oh, Lord Jesus. And my wife had a dynamic salvation. And it totally changed her life. In fact, I remember, may have been just a few days after that, we went to the fair, my dad and my wife and I, in Amarillo. And You know, I enjoyed calling the Lord at this time, but she became a real enjoyer of the Lord. And so her and my dad would trade off, oh, Lord Jesus, we're in the fair, you know, people are around. And, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, I'm kind of, you know, not as enjoying as much as she was. But this became, and she would tell you, this is probably a top practice of hers, to call on the name of the Lord, because it's so saving, it's so rich, it's so enjoyable, and it really causes us to know God and to see God and gain God. Okay, let's go into the outline. How about let's all read number... Oh, no, before I do that, I want to mention to you the matter of the word oh. You might think we just made this up. Oh, it's kind of like exercise. No, this is in the Bible. It's in a lot of places in the Bible, but here's one section that I picked out. This is Daniel 9. If you have a Bible, you can turn to it. Daniel 9, 15 through 19. I'm not going to read the whole section, but I have underlined... And now you know I like to underline. Underline some key phrases. This is Daniel in his prayer to the Lord. So he's praying to God.
Amen.
And he says, O Lord our God.
Amen.
Daniel 9:15. Verse 16. O Lord. Verse 17. O our God. Verse 18. O my God. And then it's like he's, you know, kind of like a musical. What do they call it? Crescendo? Or he's, by 19, he's like, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. Do not delay for your own sake. Oh, my God. For your city and your people are called by your own name. And I really enjoy that. This is a very biblical word, O. O is a word of opening. And you just try yourself, Lord Jesus, it's very good. But when you say, oh, Lord Jesus, there's an added opening there. There's an added rich feeling there. There's a kind of an intensity there. So this is not something theoretical. You can try this. Oh, Lord Jesus. How about let's do that right now, twice. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, number one, let's all read that together. Go. Okay, sisters on A.
Seth called his son's name Enosh, meaning frail, mortal man, because men realized that their life was vanity and that they were frail and mortal. They spontaneously began to call upon the name of Jehovah.
Amen.
Amen. Brothers B. Amen. I want to spend just a little time here. You know, one thing is, this is Genesis chapter 4. So calling on the Lord is not a new practice. It's not even just a New Testament practice. Calling on the Lord is a practice that is all throughout the Bible. And I would encourage you to read Acts 2:21 in the Recovery Version, because there's a footnote there that is very rich, and it shows you kind of the history of those used by the Lord that had this practice of calling upon His name. And I was considering as well, and I was listening to another brother who spoke on this word, and it's very interesting. You know, Seth, there was Adam, the first man, and his wife Eve. They had two sons, you know, Cain and Abel. We know what happened. Cain killed Abel. So now we have one of the sons has died. Second generation. Okay, and then the other was cursed to wander the earth. Okay, then later on, I don't know how far it was. You know, they lived a long time back then. But then Adam had another son named Seth. And that's this Seth. And Seth had a son, Enosh. So Seth, you consider this. Think of what Seth is thinking. There's my grandfather, Adam, and now my brothers, Cain and Abel. No, my dad, Adam. My brothers, Cain and Abel, one's now dead, and the other is cursed. Wow. I am a frail and mortal man. I am weak. I could die. He probably didn't have much confidence in a lot. I could be cursed. Maybe if I do something wrong. I don't know what his thoughts were, but at this point, there's this feeling. We're frail. We're mortal. We're not eternal. We're in need of something. We're in need of someone. We need Jehovah.
Yeah.
So in the same verse, he called us his name Enosh. At that time, men began to call upon the name of Jehovah.
Amen.
You see the picture there?
Yeah.
I'm frail, I'm weak, I'm in need, I'm not immortal, I am mortal. I need the eternal one, Jehovah.
Yeah.
So this is a great realization that we should have. I know we're young, and you know, you can see this in like extreme sports. You know, it's like, I'm never going to die. Watch me do this. Of course, a lot of people die when they do these kind of things. But you know, when we're young, we don't think of mortality too much. But it's good to realize how mortal we are. And there's this wonderful verse, Psalm 39:4, says, "O Jehovah." Again, O Jehovah, cause me to know my end and the measure of my days what it is. May I know how transient I am. You might think that's a depressing verse. Well, maybe, but it's a verse of reality. It shows us, yes, we're transient, we're mortal, we're frail, we're weak. We need the Lord.
Amen.
And so we need to call upon the name of the Lord. But yes, we need the Lord. We need salvation. But we also need the Lord because He is so rich. And we were created as vessels to contain Him and express Him. So His name is Jehovah. You know, the name Jehovah means I am that I am. He is everything. So to realize that we're not, that we have needs, and to not be so confident in yourself, and to realize that He is, He's the great I am, that right there is the gospel. So you have the gospel right here. You have the gospel. I'm Enosh, but He's Jehovah.
Amen.
And I can call on Him.
Amen.
We have to have this realization all the time. I'm not, but He is. And you know, the Bible really tells us, this is why, another reason why we need to read the Bible. Because when we read the Bible, we see who He is. I was considering just the Gospels. For instance, John 8. You read John 8 and you realize, wow, if I was in John 8, I would have probably been in the circle of Pharisees, ready with a stone to kill that adulterous woman. I mean, admit it, how many of you think you would have not been in that circle? I mean, maybe the sisters, probably. You know, we're all Pharisees. We're just so strict. But the Lord was such a wonderful person. He stooped down. He's the greatest one in the room, you could say. He's the greatest one there. But He stooped down and lowered Himself. He forgave the woman. He calmed the whole situation down. I would have done things totally differently. But you see a picture like this, and you realize, wow, I want that. I want Him. I need Him. And you realize, I'm not that. I would have done things totally different. Well, when you read the Bible in this way, it's very good. We realize, I'm not that person, but He is, and I want that. And so we begin to call upon His name.
Amen.
And when we call upon His name, we begin to experience who He is and enjoy who He is, and eventually we begin to express who He is. So it's as if, actually it is, Jesus Christ living again through us.
Amen.
Through our calling on Him to enjoy Him and experience Him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, how about let's read number 2 all together. Okay, what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Okay, sisters, A.
The Hebrew word for call means to call out to cry unto. That is, to cry out. And the Greek word for call means to invoke a person, to call a person by name.
Okay, so this is important. Both Hebrew and Greek give the indication that when you call on the Lord, it's something audible. Something with your lips and with your mouth and your voice. It's something very audible. And we know this by other indications, like the verse here, Acts 9:14. Paul, when he was Saul, before he met the Lord and began his pursuit of the Lord, he was actually in another kind of pursuit. He was pursuing after Christians to bind them and cast them in prison, even put them in prison and even cast votes for them to be done away with. That was Paul when he was Saul. So he had authority to bind anyone who did what? What was the sign upon them that he would know that he could bind? Calling upon the name of the Lord. So do you think, I mean, there had to be some kind of indication. Who are the ones? Who are the Christians? They're the ones that call on the Lord. That house right there, I hear them all the time. that house, those guys, you know, they come over here, you know, how often they gather together, the brothers, and they call on the name of the Lord. So you go, okay, I know where to go there. I mean, I don't know how he did it, but somehow he went city to city and he found the Jesus callers. Yeah. And he arrested them. Well, we have to ask this question, how arrestable are we? Are we arrestable? If a Paul came during this time, would he know that we're one of the Jesus callers? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, we may call Lord in private, but, and I don't mean to call Lord in such a way that we bother others. I don't mean that. But there has to be some kind of a sign with us. That means we should have some audible calling upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And that should be the sign of us Christians. Amen. So, we need to be arrestable.
Yeah.
Okay. A very interesting point, well, it's not a point I can find necessarily in the Bible, but I know from our experience that our spirit is connected to our mouth.
Right.
I don't know if any doctors could explain this, or I mean, I don't know who could explain this in physics, but somehow our spirit is connected to our mouth. Our spirit we can't see. I don't even know where it's at, somewhere deep within. Because when I call on the Lord, it's somewhere deep within. But somehow it's connected to our mouths. So when we exercise our mouths, we eventually touch our spirit.
Amen.
So this is very key. Again, why we need to call on the Lord's name in an audible way. Okay, one thing I did want to mention is that often our mouths are accompanied with our hearts in the Bible. For instance, in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and what? Believe in your heart that he has been raised from the dead, you will be saved. So here you have our mouths and our hearts put together. And there's another verse in Matthew 15 which says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart stays far away from me. So the Lord wanted them to honor him with their lips, of course, but he wanted their heart to also be where their lips were. So our lips and our hearts should be together, loving the Lord. So sometimes, I say this because sometimes our hearts can be in another place, but we go through the motions of calling. So our heart should be engaged. And our heart mainly is a loving organ.
Amen.
It was created to love God. So if you love somebody, what should you tell them often?
I love you.
I was telling my wife the other day, I need to say this more often to her. She said, yes, you do. So the more you say, I love you, to the person you love, actually you find out you do love them, even if you don't feel like it sometimes, and you love them more when you say it. So sometimes you feel like, I don't love the Lord. Look what I've done, or look where I've been, or whatever kind of feelings. But when you begin to say, Lord, I do love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. You begin to see, yes, I really do love the Lord. And you begin to love the Lord even more. So our hearts should be engaged when we're calling upon the Lord, especially to say, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. This is one of the first prayers that I pray in the morning. Even oftentimes before I get out of bed, I just, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Within, and then I get to the shower, and I'm calling more. Okay, now regarding the heart, I have a couple of, three verses actually. Number one is Isaiah 12, 3 and 4. Here it says, therefore you will draw water with rejoicing from the springs of salvation. And then at the end of 4 it says, call upon his name. Okay, so here it shows that when we call on the Lord's name, it's kind of a drawing water from a well or a spring. And then another verse is John 4:14. You may think, the fountain, of course there's a verse, Jeremiah, which says that God is the fountain. And we think, God, you know, way up there in the heavens. But actually, John 4:14 says that when we receive the living water, which is actually just Christ himself, this water becomes in us a fountain. So if we have received the Lord, and every one of us here has, then we have the fountain of the triune God installed in our being right now.
Amen.
We have a fountain installed in us.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
But there needs to be sometimes a drawing. That means there's an exercise. Okay, in the last verse in here, then I'll mention some things regarding this. Numbers 21:17 says this, Then Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing to it. The well which the leaders sank, which the nobles of the people dug." And then it goes on. But the point here is that here is a spring that needed to be dug. Of course, we know the fountains and the springs, they're underneath. The fountain, when it comes, springs up, of course. But it's underneath the ground, so there needs to be a digging, and there needs to be a drawing. Okay, what is the ground? Well, we know in the Bible that the ground, spiritually speaking, is our heart. We need to have the good earth, but also there needs to be an opening from our spirit into our heart. So that means we need to deal with our heart. So our heart is very much related to the exercise of our spirit by calling on the Lord's name. We can call on the Lord's name, but eventually the Lord may say, okay, what about those thoughts that you've been having? You see, our heart is composed of our mind, our emotion, and our will, along with our conscience, which is a part of our spirit. And so the Lord may say, okay, what about those choices that you've made? So now you had a little bit of the flow, but then the flow, it seems like, maybe has stopped because the Lord wants to deal with something so that there would be more of a flow. And He would even have a thoroughfare in your being. So we have to deal with these things. What about some anxieties? How many of you have ever been anxious? I was somewhat anxious to come and share this morning. So I had to call the Lord more. We have anxieties. How many of you have had your mind just filled with reasonings about things? Oh, I get that a lot, too often. How many of you have ever been offended with someone else? Yeah, oh boy. Unfortunately, I get that too. Offenses, these things kind of block the flow of life. So we begin to call on the Lord's name and we touch something, but then the Lord wants to deal with these things. Why? To punish us? No. Because He wants there to be a thoroughfare in our being. So there be a rich flow of the divine life within us.
Amen.
So we have to exercise and draw and we have to dig. And then the Lord will have a way for this spiritual flow in our lives. Okay, how about let's have the brothers read B. Go. Amen. I won't read these verses. You can read them on your own. But basically, the point here is that our Lord Jesus is a living person.
Amen.
And His person is the Spirit.
Amen.
So when we call on the name of the Lord, who do we get? We get the Spirit. Of course, that doesn't mean that Jesus is not with us or God is not with us. No, when we get the Spirit, we get God.
Amen.
Because the person of the Lord and the person of God is the Spirit. So we get the Spirit. It's wonderful. When you get the Spirit, you get everything. Okay, I'll go on to the next point here. It says, to call on the Lord means to cry to Him and to experience spiritual breathing.
Amen.
I really enjoyed this point. Spiritual breathing. And there's this wonderful hymn. It was written probably a couple hundred years ago by a man named A.B. Simpson. It's a hymn's 255, and I won't read the whole thing. Some of you know it. But the first stanza and the chorus says this: O Lord, breathe Thy Spirit on me. Teach me how to breathe Thee in. So there's a breathing in. Help me pour into Thy bosom all my life of self and sin. Then he says, I am breathing out my sorrow, breathing out my sin. I am breathing, breathing, breathing all Thy fullness in.
Amen.
Well, we know that breathing, and there's a lot here in that, a lot of breathing in and breathing out in that hymn. Very rich hymn, very experiential hymn. But we know that breathing involves two things. What? Exhaling and inhaling.
Yeah.
Exhaling and inhaling. Sometimes we think breathing, we're just, you know, in. But actually, it's exhaling and inhaling. You know, when you exhale kind of toxins.
Yes.
They're not good for you. It was in you, now you need to get it out.
Yes.
And when you breathe the things that you need in. It's the same way spiritually. When we call on the name of the Lord, according to Jeremiah, it's like breathing. And our calling in the Lord is a breathing out and a breathing in. And I very much enjoy this point because I found this to be my experience, and I know many of you have this experience. You know, for instance, we talked about the heart, and what about like anxieties? How do you get rid of anxieties?
Oh, God.
I mean, I've had many struggles in this matter of anxieties. I remember one time I was very young, and there was a lot of pressures. You know, we began to have four children. Well, three of them are actually here in the training. So they're older now, and you know, you get married younger, you get a lot more financial difficulties and challenges and a lot of things. Just having kids, there's a lot of challenges. And I was filled with anxieties, and I went for a walk late at night, and I was just, how do I fix this, and how do I fix that, and how do I handle this? And I was just, oh, and then I just began to call on the Lord's name. And as I called, I felt a real breathing out, a real exhaling, and those anxieties just disappeared. Well, I came home and everything was still the same, but all the anxieties were gone. This is a real breathing out. What about offenses? How do you deal with offenses? You get offended, and you know, their offenses are just tricky. I mean, you know you shouldn't have them, but they just come. And you know the truth, and offenses are terrible. They can knock you out of the church life. They can, you know, cause a lot of problems. You know this. But how do you get rid of the offenses? For me, the best way is to breathe out those offenses by calling on the Lord's name. And you'll find out through that, even often, when you call on the Lord's name and you breathe out those offenses, eventually, the one whom you're offended with, you begin to love again. That's been my experience. Even I had a recent experience, just a kind of an offense I couldn't get rid of. I couldn't reason it out in my head, and I just was calling the Lord. Eventually, those offenses were gone, and love returned. Amen. And filled. So this is the way to get rid of these offenses, because those offenses can really block your enjoyment of the divine life, and it can block the flow of the divine life, and you're not a happy Christian. You're not joyful. But when you get rid of these things by calling, by exhaling, then the joy comes back. The happiness comes back. The flow comes back. This is our experience. All kinds of things. What about your personal desires? Dreams. How many of you have dreams? You know, my wife knows, I read a book about something, and I'm like, I want to be a sailor. Or, you know, I read a book, I have a dream. You know, I could go and work 1 month. I had this plan once to work 1 month in one different job each month, and I'll be tend a vineyard and, you know, be a cattle person, or, you know, try everything out. I just read books and I get easily inspired, and I'm a dreamer. But, you know, those things don't align with the Lord, and I'm sure. But anyhow, how do you get rid of those? You have to just breathe these things out. You breathe these things out, and then the Lord will fill you with His desire. So this is the point. We need to learn how to call on the Lord's name to exhale and to inhale. The more we exhale these things out, the more room there is in our being for God. And then we gain more God. This is why, even at the very beginning, this is, I think it says somewhere, this is the simplest way to exercise our spirit. We exercise our spirit, we know God. We see God and we gain God. The simplest way is to call the Lord. So when we call the Lord, this is our pathway to gain God.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. How about the sisters three times? Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Brothers from deep within. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, number three says, why do we need to call on the name of the Lord? Sisters, A.
We need to call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved.
Amen. Brothers, B.
We need to call on the Lord to be rescued from distress.
Amen.
From trouble.
Amen.
And from sorrow.
Amen. Sisters.
We need to call on the Lord to partake of the Lord's salvation.
Amen. Brothers.
We need to call on the Lord to receive us.
Amen. Sisters.
We need to call on the Lord to drink the spiritual water and to eat the spiritual food for our satisfaction.
Amen. Brothers.
We need to call on the Lord to enjoy the riches of the Lord.
Amen. Everyone.
We need to call on the Lord to stir up ourselves to live all of Him.
Amen. I really enjoy these points. It's helpful to read all these verses, and there's some hymns here as well. To sing these hymns is very, very good. This is the Lord's word to us, and that means this is His promise to us. If you're in distress, what do you need to do? Call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
How many of you have ever been not only just stressed out, but in distress? Yeah, I mean, I've been stressed out, and I've been in distress sometimes. And I tell you, calling on the name of the Lord, even sometimes physically, environmentally, the Lord will rescue you by calling on the name of the Lord. Inwardly, definitely you get rescued. Sometimes, even environmentally, the Lord just plucks you out of a situation by calling on His name. He really rescues you from distress. Oh, and to partake of the Lord's salvation. How many of you need to be saved from your temper? Yeah. My temper. Oh, Lord Jesus. Two hands back there for one brother. Okay, yes, our temper. Oh, our lust. Our all kinds of things. How do we deal with these things? Well, one way, a good way, is to begin to call on the name of the Lord. So this is the Lord's promise to us. If we do it, this will be the result. But you know, sometimes we don't feel like it. How many of you ever said it before? I just don't feel like it. Even you have a kind of a stubborn attitude. I don't feel like it. I know I should do, but I don't feel like it. And stop talking to me. In fact, if you talk to me anymore, I'm not going to feel like it even more. And I'm going to start pushing back. Sometimes we get like this. Or how many of you said, I'm just out of it. I'm out of it. Yeah. And we get out of it. Well, I found that physically, when we exercise, and spiritually when we exercise, often we don't feel like it. I rarely feel like going out running. I actually like to run, but I rarely feel like going running. I know I need to do it. I know when I do it, it feels good, but I rarely feel like going to do it. Okay? But I know that three things at least happen. This is physically and spiritually. Number one is that when you do it, you begin to like to do it. Number two is that when you do it, you enjoy some benefits of it. You realize benefits, for sure. And number three is you begin to show it. I haven't been running lately, but I show it. But think spiritually. Think spiritually. You know, when you do it, and when you call on the Lord, sometimes you don't feel like calling on the Lord. I admit that. Sometimes I just don't feel like calling on the Lord. I would rather remain in the pit of despair and wallow in that mud. How many of you ever felt like that? Yeah, I mean, sometimes there's a kind of a soulish enjoyment there. I just want to stay here and roll in the mud. Well, sometimes we don't feel like exercising. Okay, let's just be honest. But when we begin to do it, we're like, oh, okay, I know. This feels good. I like it. I like to call on the name of the Lord. How many of you love to call on the name of the Lord? Yes, we know it. This isn't theoretical here. Just try it, and you will like it. Number two is you will begin to realize the benefits. Your day is different when you begin your day calling on the name of the Lord. It's just a fact. Your day is different. You realize the benefits, and also you will show it. You'll show it to your family. When you get married someday, you'll show it to your spouse. You'll show it to your kids. You'll show it. It will be expressed. You'll show it to your coworkers, to your students. If you don't call the Lord in the morning, you don't enjoy the Lord, do you think the gospel is going to come out of your mouth in class? No, it's not going to happen. I mean, maybe, but it won't be so flowing. But if you do this, then things just spontaneously happen. Okay, I'm almost done here. Okay, one other thing here. I just have enjoyed this verse for years. Isaiah 64:7. Isaiah is here and he says, Lord, there's no one. There's no one. I'm looking around. There's no one who calls upon your name, who stirs himself up to lay hold of you.
Yeah.
Okay, DJ, come here. Okay, let's say DJ here is the Lord Jehovah. By the way, you know, Jesus, the name Jesus means what? Jehovah the Savior, or Jehovah our salvation. So Jesus is just that same Jehovah that's the I am that I am. He's everything we need. You call the name of Jesus, He's everything you need that saves us and is our salvation. Okay, but we're in the pit of despair. Okay, and He's here. I am that I am. Everything we need is here. But in our sensation and our experience, He's way over there. So what do we need to do sometimes? We have to stir ourselves up. to what? Lay hold of him. If I get to him, I get everything. If I need peace, I'm unrestful, it's right there. If I need joy, if I need wisdom, whatever it is that I need, it's like a blank check. Whatever it is I need, it's right there. But I have to stir myself up to lay hold of him. So I call on, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Eventually, I get him. I draw that water. I've dug it out. And now, whatever I need, he is that to me. Okay, thank you, brother. Okay, now number four. How about, let's all read that together. Go. Sisters.
We must call on him out of a pure heart. Our heart, which is the source, must be pure, seeking nothing but the Lord himself.
Amen. That means our focus should be single. My wife is a photographer, and sometimes I use her camera, and when I have some scenery here, I have to look through and focus on something, and then I'll click it, and it'll go, and everything else blurs out. So that should be our heart with the Lord. Everything else should blur out, and just focus on him. That's to be single. That's to have a pure heart. Okay, brothers, be.
We need to open our mouth wide to call on the Lord.
Amen. See, everyone.
We should call daily and hourly.
This really is our burden. This exercise of our spirit by calling the Lord's name should be daily and it should be hourly. It should be like breathing. This is a real burden that we would all have this kind of practice. We would be this kind of people.
Amen.
We would be a real breathing people.
Amen.
Don't you think the Lord is looking for this kind of people?
That's right.
Isaiah said there's no one. But now, what would the Lord say? There's a lot of ones that are breathing my name all the time. Okay, 5 says, we need to exercise our entire being, especially our spirit, to call on the Lord.
Amen.
The simplest way to exercise the spirit is to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
In order to call on the Lord, we need to exercise our entire being. This means that we need to exercise our spirit with our mind, emotion, will, and body to call on the name of the Lord. Okay, now finally, I'm going to give you 4 words and I'll be done. To upgrade our calling and to progress. A brother recently gave 4 words. You can write this down. We want to upgrade our experience. Maybe we just started calling yesterday. We can upgrade it as of today. But maybe you've been calling for many years. We need an upgrade. Number 1, frequency. We need to call on the Lord more.
Amen.
Number 2, intensity. We need to exercise our whole being.
Amen.
You may just call on the Lord, and that's good, but how about practicing to engage your entire being when you call on the Lord?
Amen.
I don't necessarily mean loud. Sometimes it's good to be loud. Sometimes it's not good to be loud. But in any case, your being should be exercised. And 3 and 4 is simplicity and sincerity. That means I just want the Lord.
Amen.
I don't want to be so complicated. I just want the Lord. If I get him, I get everything.
Amen.
So we need to be simple and we need to be sincere. Okay, how about let's all read focus and then we'll end. Daily and hourly.
Experience salvation and enjoy his unsearchable riches.
Amen. Okay,